today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
There's a higher calling that God wants us to embrace. A higher calling that God wants us to embrace. Write it in your notes. You were wired to not be accountable. You came out of your mother's womb saying, I want my own. I don't need nobody checking on me. You are wired that way. It's a part of the sinful nature. Jacob came out of his mother's womb holding his brother's heel. He was grabbing his heel. The scripture implies that he was saying, I want to be first.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Trust, the Result of Accountability. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Proverbs chapter 27, verses 17 through 18.
First in the NIV and then in the Message Bible. And then we're going to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. And verse 10, first in the NIV, and then 9 through 11 in the Message Bible. As we deal with part two of a message that I started this morning from a series entitled Stewardship 101, today we want to deal with trust, the result of accountability. Trust, the result of accountability, part two. I made a mistake in my notes. It is part two at 11 a.m. Thank you so much for that. Proverbs 27, verse 17 out of the NIV, and it reads like this: as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who looks after his master will be honored. Can the church say amen? And then the Message Bible, same verse: you use steel to sharpen steel, and one friend sharpens another. If you care for your orchard, you'll enjoy its fruit. If you honor your boss, you'll be honored. I couldn't get any amens on that one. Everybody, I don't like my boss. I'm reading right out of the Bible. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. NIV verse 9 reads like this: two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. The message reads like this: it's better to have a partner than to go it alone. Share the work, share the household chores, share the bills, share the responsibilities. One person can't do it all. Share the wealth. And if one falls down, the other helps. But if there is no one to help, look at this, tough. I like verse 11. Two in a bed warm each other. Alone, you shiver. You shiver all night. From the Stewardship 101 message, today's message is entitled Trust, the Result of Accountability. Say trust, the result of accountability. It's part two of this message. I would encourage you to get part one from this morning at 8 o'clock. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word of truth revealed. Sp- speak through these lips of clay as you think through my mind. I decrease that you would increase. I bind every force that comes against the preached word. I thank you for attentive ears to hear, a mind to comprehend, hearts to receive, and a spirit to contain your word, and we give you praise for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God one more hand clap of praise for his word. Amen. I am a teacher of the word. I plan on teaching here today. A stewardship is important to God, and we've covered several aspects of stewardship. We're over halfway through with the series. We dealt with ownership. Who's the owner of all things? Come on, talk to me. Who's the owner of all things? God is the owner of all things. Please get this in your spirit. He owns all shoes. He owns all bags. He owns all cars. He owns all houses. He owns every Q-tip. He owns all toilet tissue. He owns vacuum cleaners. He owns everything. He owns your bank account. He owns your portfolio. He owns your shape. He owns your body. He owns all of your children. He owns everything. And when you die, you'll understand, because you can take nothing with you. He owns it all. We also talked about responsibility. It is our responsibility to respond to stewardship properly. That's our responsibility. How do you respond to the message of stewardship or to God's ownership? Very important. Today we're dealing with the third aspect of this message, and it is accountability. Trust the result of accountability. I think it's one of the things that the church has not been strong at. When we teach on stewardship, we go straight after the tithe. But really, it is what produces it that God wants us to grow in, and that is stewardship. God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. The church doesn't lack because there is lack. It lacks because we lack understanding. And in all of your getting, get an understanding. I was preached 2 years ago and made to feel like if I didn't rally, what you gonna do? I got mine. What about you? That if you didn't give a certain amount, you would not please God and he would curse you. Malachi chapter 3 was pushed big time. You have robbed God. Where have you said you have robbed me? In tithe and offerings. Repent quickly lest I move the candlestick. I've heard all of these messages preached, but nothing concerning structure, ownership, responsibility, and accountability. And in the 21st century, our young people are not listening to hell scared messages. You can preach hell scared, you're going to hell if you don't obey God, they still sin. That's not going to get it. They need to know purpose. And so I'm here to unveil purpose to the nations. From New York to Maine, from Maine to Miami, we believe that God is touching his people. Hallelujah. The scripture is clear out of Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron. The problem is that many of us are trying to get sharp with inferior materials. We got people around us that are impressed with us all of the time. You need people around you that's not impressed with you. They got what you got. They work as hard as you work. They're not going to compliment you all of the time, but they can bless you. You need to have those people in your life, because iron, when iron comes against iron, when iron touches iron, all you hear is a cling, cling. Neither one is intimidated by the other. But if you got friends in your life that are constantly looking up to you, or you looking down at them, when you cling or when you clash, somebody's going to get cut. Thank you, Lord. And I believe the Lord is after iron to sharpen iron. In ministry, we're looking for iron to sharpen iron. We're believing God to do that according to the scriptures. The message says, if you use steel, you use steel to sharpen steel. And a friend sharpens, one friend sharpens another. We don't have friends in our lives because they make us feel good. You're supposed to have people around you that make you do better. In other words, they come into your life and for some reason you want to straighten up. Not just have fun all of the time, but you see something in them that makes you want to stand straight. and focus. Do what God has called you to do. And then Ecclesiastes chapter 4 again, two are better than one. We're living in a time now where people don't want accountability. You'll hear things like, I found my truth. I found my truth. I don't need anybody. And ladies are making more money now than ever before. A lot of ladies are saying, I don't need a man in my life. I don't need a man. And when did you come up with that? 10 years ago? Since 1960? Women have always needed men in their lives. And there's a deficit in our families if there's no man coming around. So we need to have a man. Don't ever say, because I make money, I don't need anybody. There's more to life than making money. I can stand up and talk to a child and they will sit up straight. And you got to yell, sit down, sit down. I say, look at me. I need you to sit down. Yes, sir. Especially little boys. Thank you, Lord. A lot of times bad behavior is tied to long hair. Mommies want to treat little boys, okay, grow it. No, sometimes you got to cut it off. You'll see behavior shift. Don't cut your girl's hair because that's her glory. That's what the Bible said. Trim it up, but you don't shave her bald because you're mad at her. You'll mess her up for life. Thank you, Lord. That's a nurturing time for you to get her hair done, to speak to her, to talk about how much you love her. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm talking to people that's looking at me. What is he talking about? I never heard that before. You forgot your grandmama? She spent time with you, right? You saw her spending time on Saturday. My mama used to walk around with girdles on, making sure the girl's hair were right on Sunday, for Sunday. I like that. I like it. I like my mama. My mama was big mama. I like it. And she made sure Donna and Doris had their hair done. Now, my father took us to the barbershop. We wanted to be like the Jackson 5. He said, the devil is a liar. Ain't no afros up in here. Guess what you do when you go in the military? The first thing they do before they teach you how to march, before they teach you any language, what is the first thing they do? They cut off every male's hair. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? Because they want you to know your hair is tied to your attitude. That's right. If you want to get young men right, all you got to do is cut hair. It'll lock them up. I got a young man in the church right now. His mother trusts me with him. And when he came in today, he's got dreadlocks. I said, do I need to cut your hair? He said, no, sir. Then what are you going to do in school? I'm going to do what I need to do, sir. You ain't wearing dreadlocks around me and you won't listen to teachers. That's for men to do, not for little boys. Y'all understand that, right? Iron sharpens iron. And if you don't know how to raise children, get with someone that does. Glory to God. Well, I've never been in a church where the pastor talked like that. I know. But you're here today. Glory to God. And God wants you to get some truth in your life. Stewardship without leadership, accountability, it weakens the church, it weakens all systems, and it weakens the family. Stewardship without leadership, accountability, weakens systems. It'll weaken systems on the job, in your corporation. If you're an entrepreneur and you don't have leadership, accountability, your stuff is weak. It weakens relationships if you don't have accountability. Thank you, Lord. I was preaching on Wednesday night, and one of the truth points that we came out with is that there's a difference between barriers and boundaries. Barriers are set in your life to maintain healthy relationships. Boundaries block healthy relationships. We have to be able to discern the difference between the two in the church. Nobody's trying to stop you from having a healthy relationship. So we put barriers in your life so you can be trusted. If you're in a healthy relationship, you shouldn't be coming home at 2 a.m. with no accountability. If you're living with your parent, you should not come in when you want. We put a barrier there so we can maintain a healthy relationship. If you come anytime you want, you will lose respect for the homeowner. In the church, we have barriers, we have boundaries, not barriers. We have boundaries. We put boundaries in place so we can protect the healthy relationships. Barriers are put in place to block healthy relationships. Many times the church has been known for its barriers, not its boundaries. But we're changing that in Jesus' name. So I want to give you a definition of accountability. If you're taking notes, write it down. Accountability is being accountable or being responsible for the decisions you make, for your actions taken, and for assignments completed. I say again, accountability simply means being responsible for decisions you make, actions taken, and assignments completed. Without accountability, in terms of stewardship, we will overspend. I've done it before and I know what it's like. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to overspend. One time I thought I was in the pay period where I would get paid on Friday. So I made a mistake. I thought the money was coming on Friday, but it was coming the next week. And I paid all of my bills early. I wasn't paying attention to the dates. And I was just doing what I do. And I was on autopilot. And I overextended myself. I paid the bills early. It didn't come to my mind until after I wrote the checks and put them in the mail. And then all of a sudden, anxiety hit me like a flood. Oof. What am I going to do? 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 I can't go to my daddy because I'm grown. Anybody got thoughts like that? Well, we're living in a time now. Or I can go to my mama anytime because she never tells me no. When you're grown, you're supposed to be able to say, I got this. I'm preaching better than folk are saying amen. I got this. Mama is not in life, dad is not in life to bail out your lack of accountability. When you're grown, you got to handle yours. That's a part of it. I got mine. In my mind, in my actions, in my decisions, I got it. Thank you, Lord. And I was sweating bullets. I was sweating bullets. And I called a friend I said, listen, man, I made a mistake. Can you help me? I'll give you the money back next week. He said, sure, man, no problem. And he gave me the money. I only took enough to pay the bill, not enough to go to the mall and to Carrabba's. I paid the bill and I was crying when I was paying it. When I got paid, I was able to pay him back. Guess what? A year later, he reminded me. After I paid him back. Yeah, I'm the one that gave you. I was like, wow. Wow. You paid me back? I paid you back, right? But he still had to say something around other people. That's when it taught me. I didn't get mad at him. I got mad at myself. And I realized that this pig in my heart is going to keep me from making mistakes when it's time to be accountable. Because I don't want to live through that no more. I don't have no problem with him saying, I loaned you some money talking to me. But he said it to other people. And it taught me a lesson. Why get mad at him? You helped me out. But it taught me a lesson. And I want to teach you a lesson so you don't get the scar of that. If they don't say it, they remember. So you may think you skated by when you don't pay bills, but they remember. Oh my God, help me, Jesus. There's a higher calling that God wants us to embrace. A higher calling that God wants us to embrace. Write it in your notes. You were wired to not be accountable. You came out of your mother's womb saying, I want my own. I don't need nobody checking on me. You are wired that way. It's a part of the sinful nature. Jacob came out of his mother's womb holding his brother's heel. He was grabbing his heel. The scripture implies that he was saying, I want to be first. Some of us, you'll see it in little children, little tendencies to take things, to lift up skirts and look up under them, and you're laughing at it, but you should correct it when they're small. The Bible says, bend the plant when it's young. In other words, you don't play with that when you see misbehavior. The rod of correction will drive out misbehavior. It doesn't mean you have to be like they used to, whipping children and whipping them until they can't sit down. The devil is a liar. Temper your discipline. You don't even do it when you're angry. You do it because it's purpose driven. You never call kids out of their name and tell them how bad they are and they're stupid. I didn't call you stupid. I said what you did was stupid. No, you don't do that. Change your behavior. Can somebody say amen? Because we are hotwired not to be accountable. And in any excuse a person get, they will back away from accountability because it requires humility. To be accountable to someone, for someone to look over your shoulder and look at how you spend money, how you make decisions, what you do with your money, it causes you to be humble to do that. And what is the opposite of humility? Come on, talk to me. It's pride. What does the Bible say about pride as it relates to God? The Bible say he resists the proud, but he gives grace. A lot of people think it's the devil that's fighting finances, but really the enemy opens you up when you lack accountability to become proud versus humble. And then God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. There's some things the devil can't do to you if you will become accountable. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's just some things he won't be able to do with your bank account or with you. Because as it goes with our bank account, so does it go with our heart. Thank you, Lord. Our minds. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a part of the sinful nature to push away from accountability. Many of us are full of pride and arrogance. And we're on a quest for dependence. That quest for dependence is a journey. We want our own. Many men are plagued with the quest of dependence because they had no father in their lives. When there's no father, the man will push away from anything as it relates to accountability and want to live on his own. I made it. I had no dad. And it also affects the way you worship because he's called Father God. And if you have a problem with your father, you're going to have a problem with your heavenly father. That's how it goes. It is the man that teaches even the young lady in how he moves. It is the man in a good home now that teaches the young lady how she should move and even how to respond in love by the way he demonstrates love. Thank you, Lord. And if the father is missing out of the house and he was just a running renegade, then you think men are like that. And it will come out in the way you act and how you function. Thank you, Lord. And that's why we come into the church, to get balance in our lives. Thank you, Lord. And I'm not a perfect man. And if you're here in the ministry, you won't hear me say I'm perfect. I have flaws. My family has flaws. But the point that I'm trying to make to all of you is God uses people with flaws. If you really want to correct it, he will help you to correct it. Thank you, Lord. This quest for dependence starts way before you get saved. It starts at teenagers, even before teenage years. Eventually, people don't want to live in the same nest with their parents. And you see that quest for dependence. If you don't have a biblical perspective, you think you're okay and you'll back away from accountability. But accountability is tied to your stewardship. Somebody should be in your life that can question you about how you deal with your resources. or your lifestyle, or what's going on in your life.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, Trust, the Result of Accountability, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2403-0308. That's reference number 2403-0308.
The City of Palm Bay invites you and your entire family to the Palm Bay Multicultural Festival on Saturday, March 23rd. Celebrate culture through dance, music, and hands-on activities showcasing different countries worldwide. This free, fun event is from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Fred Poppy Park in Palm Bay.
FACE 26th Annual Scholarship Luncheon is on Saturday, March 16th from noon until 6 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Vera Conference Center. Donations are $70 per person, and all proceeds go to serving young men and women by assisting with college tuition. Call 516-526-5740 for tickets and more information. High school seniors, the $1,000 ICANN scholarship is for you if you plan to attend a historically black college and university immediately after graduation. The application period is open until Saturday, March 30th. Visit ICANNscholar.com for the requirements and to submit your application. Email ICANN2scholar@gmail.com with any questions. Married and engaged couples, join us for the Marriage Enrichment Hearts Intertwined Session on Saturday, March 16th at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary. Child care is provided.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.